Chapter 38. On a Rainy Day. To speak kindly does not hurt the tongue. A French proverb. Road trip.
So, do you like Kiki?
Zelos asked it so casually, Zell simply answered honestly. Also, having been swimming in frigid water much of the afternoon and slavishly playing guitar and singing late that night at a gig may have suspended his interest in mind games as well.
Yes, why? My brother's in love with my fiancé, Zelos announced gleefully. Is that soap opera material?
I didn't say in love. I said like. No, actually. You said like. I said, yes, why?
Zelgadis checked his watch. He was waiting for his turn at the shower.
Besides, I like lots of people. Well, a few, anyway.
Zell fought back a blush to no avail.
Stop looking at me that way.
Zelos cheerfully complied and shut his eyelids.
All right, open your eyes, asshole.
Zell knew when he was being baited, but rarely could handle Zelos with aplomb. Zelos exploded into a riot of giggles.
Anyway, I look at you. I see my best friend going for my girl. That's absolutely not true, and you know it. Hey, it's perfectly okay with me, little brother. Take her. I wish you would.
More seriously, he added,
I wish you could.
Zelos, what is it?
I wish I knew.
Let me guess. Somehow you got a syndicate-style contract against you, forcing you to marry her.
Zelos's eyebrows shot up. Zelgadis' ability to see through to the truth of the matter was uncanny. At least it was to him.
Good guess. Something left over from the Zealous days, am I right? Partially. Maybe, I don't know. Kiki's doing some investigative work from her end. I think that Zealous called her folks last year to put an end to the engagement. Kiki's mother is a sharp opportunist. She most likely started wondering who Zelos was, or me, and did a little research on her own. I'm thinking that her investigations brought her into contact with another party who filled her in on my potential financial status. Suddenly, I became an overnight success, as a desirable attachment for her daughter, and thus I pay the consequences for another of my rash actions. You know, the betrothal I had made in haste to divert attention off Lena, transformed over time to become the current noose about my neck.
Zelos tossed that one out, hoping to head off his little brother should Zell want to start that lecture. But instead, Zell said,
Your aunt, that deep-sea person, I bet she's behind it.
I thought about that. Hey, for a while there, I was thinking she was Kiki's mother.
That would be too convoluted, even for your life. The question is, why would she get involved? Why does she care? I was wondering why Kiki myself.
Zell looked at Zelos.
Why indeed? So, Zelos calls Kiki's folks, tells them about their strange little girl mixing it up with her deranged son.
A bit harsh there, Zelgadis.
And demands that they force Kiki to break the engagement because Zelos has other plans for me and my promise was as binding as any other syndicate contract. I would either have to marry her, die, or Kiki could release me.
Right. Then they either said no or yes. Or they would think about it.
Right. In any case, the matter was dropped.
At least, I thought so at the time.
Zelos ran a hand through his hair in a show of frustration.
Right. Zelos may have learned something about Kiki's family that she liked, and maybe the contract was kept. Although, it would have been nice to tell you that instead of letting you think it had been voided. zealous and nice do not belong in the same sentence. Or they learned about my money and kept the engagement intact, with or without Zealous's knowledge. Or, Zell sighed, some third party interfered to mess up Zealous's plans. Or something else we haven't thought of. There's that. Yes, there's always the possibility of something else. Zello sighed as well. Their eyes met. I'll get you out of it, I promise, Zell assured him. Zello smiled. So you do want her for yourself? No, Zellos. It's an act of kindness. He smiled briefly, and then, with a smirk, said, I can't let a nice girl like her get tied up with the likes of you. Oh, yeah. She'd be much better off with Sweetie Pie's El Goddess. Not that nickname. Lena had called him that, hadn't she? Zellos had been busy with Luna, so he couldn't have heard. How did he know? Val, he didn't. I'm gonna make him pay for repeating that. Well, here he comes. I can't wait to watch him pay. Zell slugged Zellos in the arm. Shut up. There were no hard feelings. These were just good buddy hijinks. Yo, Val greeted them as he emerged from the adjacent bathroom. Yeah, I got dibs on this shower, Zellos announced, sitting up on the bed. All right, I can wait for the other one. Zell sighed, but neither guy moved. Val loped off to the room next door, and then returned half a minute later. I'm done in there. Both showers are free. Gowrie's out in our room, too. Zellos smiled and hopped off the hotel bed. At last. Yeah, you need it. Val chuckled as he crashed on the other bed in the room, which Zell had just vacated in his rush to the other room's shower. Sorry, I lose 5 pounds each performance in sweat alone, I think. Drums give me a real workout. Zellos stripped and wrapped a towel around his waist. Oh, nice hair, by the way. Thanks. Philia trimmed it. She got me this conditioner shit she made out of herbs, and it's all shiny, soft, and more manageable, Zellos giggled, and then he disappeared into the bathroom. Belle, you in there? Gowrie stomped through the adjoining doorway between the two rooms. Seeing that it was true, Gowrie draped his hair towel around his shoulders and sank onto the empty bed without waiting for an answer. He and Val drew lots as roommates, leaving Zellos to share with Zell. The days of 4 to a room were in the past. Physically, my brain's fried, though. You were deadly on the keyboards tonight. Crowd liked that dialogue thingy you and Philia did before her solo. Her idea? Gowrie winced as his comb snagged in his knotted hair. Knots he hadn't been able to free since the fishing trip. Ow. Yeah, she's being friendlier since. He looked down at his hands and grinned. He smoothed out a lump in the bedspread. What did you do? Gowrie prompted. He didn't normally try to weasel secrets out of his friends, but he could tell Val just needed a little encouragement. I read her a poem I wrote about her. Said all kinds of nice things in it. Things I just can't say. Gotcha. I wrote a poem to Lena once, kinda like that. She liked it? She didn't rip it to shreds. Gowrie met Val's eyes with a wry smile. Gotta count for something. Ouch! In a moment of considerateness, Val said, I got something for that. He swung his legs off the bed. You put it on your hair wet and leave it there a couple of minutes, then rinse it out. Gowrie gave him the blankest look possible. Huh? It'll make it slippery, so the snarls come out. Gowrie's eyes lit up. Hair conditioner?
Val felt like he was just barely communicating.
Yeah, when Zell gets out, I'll get it for you.
Zell is out, Zelgata said as he walked into the room. He had the 7-minute shower down pat. Gowrie was lounging on Zell's bed, and since Val was up and on his way to the other room, Zell hopped onto Zelos's bed.
The smell of the sea will never be quite the same.
Gowrie nodded.
I'll always think of that dragonfish.
Shark, yeah. And the bay swill water. I think I've finally got it scrubbed out of my pores.
Val's got something for my hair. It'll never be the same. Why do you think the fish went for it?
They were either starving or the color caught their eye, Zell said.
Here.
Val lobbed the glass bottle to Gowrie, who caught it, and then claimed the spot Gowrie left open as the blonde visited the shower once again.
Val and Zell traded open stares at one another.
You look different.
They noted simultaneously.
Val chuckled and fingered his hair.
No gel.
Zell nodded.
Your skin looks different.
Zelgadas was shirtless after his shower. One outcome resulting from living with Zelos and Val was that Zell was becoming accustomed to just hanging out with other guys.
Yeah, funniest thing. Ever since that spa trip, I've noticed...
He was interrupted by a vigorous knocking at the door.
It's not locked, Val shouted. Aw, it's the chicks from down the hall.
Zelgata snatched a sweatshirt out of his bag and pulled it on. He was less comfortable showing his scarred skin around the girls.
Peep, peep, peep!
Kiki laughed and led the others in chicken imitations.
Miss Kiki, you're good enough to be Pelé, the palace fried chicken mascot. I hear they're having an opening.
Amelia collapsed onto the floor, gasping for air between laughing and choking.
Move over.
Philia nudged Val to the edge of the bed, then perched primly on the other side.
Lena dove for the center. I am so tired.
Well, don't die there. That is my bed, Zell pointed out to her.
Lena didn't move. Too bad Joey couldn't have played, huh?
Kiki asked her.
Come, sit here with us. You see?
She patted the floor and scooted apart from Amelia so Zelgadas could fit in.
Yeah, if I hadn't been on that stupid boat, I could have talked his mom out of making Zolf drive him back home. Poor kid. Since when did coaches start calling parents before games?
Since his star center was AWOL at the shoot-around in the morning,
Gowrie answered. He was trickling water from the tips of his hair, flicking a fine spray of cold water with each step.
Joey has to learn what he can and can't do.
Yeah! And fooling your mom is in the can't category, Amelia agreed. Luckily, Daddy let me come, or we would have been in trouble.
She smiled as Zelgata sank onto the floor where Kiki made room for him.
Not so. I disagree. Zelos did a new song to cover for your solo last week. I mean, we missed you, you know that. We're just so-so background singers without your sweet voice. But the band wasn't in trouble.
Philia didn't catch Amelia's expression. Her attention was arrested by Gowrie's frustrated attack on his hair.
Gowrie, let me do that. You're tearing it out and splitting the ends.
I don't know.
He wasn't finicky about his hair like Zelos was, but no female younger than his mother had ever combed it out. Lena, he could remember, had tied it back for him on several occasions, but that was mostly to get the damn stuff out of the way.
I'll let her untangle the mess, Lena said, with an exasperated tone in her voice.
As Philia got off the bed, Lena secured a pillow and made herself more comfortable. Face down and eyes closed.
Okay.
The busy day had finally worn down Gowrie, too. Philia dug through the tote bag she'd brought with her, and then joined him on the other bed, Zelos's bed. I'll trim the ends while we're at it. Hey, don't be such a baby about this. I won't touch the bangs if you want to keep them shaggy. That's your business. I'm working with the long end and the knot. You guys are all so sensitive. Smells familiar.
Val gave me this to use on it.
Gowrie showed her the bottle of hair conditioner.
Good boy, she said Val's way.
Val smiled, pleased to have done something right, but then looked away.
Don't want to look too needy.
Here's where everyone went. Sylphiel took in the scene from the hall doorway. She and Amelia had been the last to use the girl's shower, but her longer hair was a real ordeal to take care of, and made her the only one remaining in her room.
Oh, you're like fixing Gowrie's hair.
Gowrie shrank back. He remembered then that it was Sylphiel who had put his hair into pigtails with buns. Yeah, but hands off. He's all mine tonight. Isn't that right, Jibo? Philia leaned into him, blonde hair blending with blonde.
Uh-huh, Gowrie agreed. Better Philia than Sylphiel messing with his hair.
Where's Zelly?
Shower, Val filled Sylphiel in. In fact, his eyes scanned the room and settled on Zelos's bag in the corner, kimono resting on top, dirty clothes piled nearby where he dropped them. Why don't you take him his kimono? She actually got as far as picking it up before she thought about what she was doing.
Val?
Heh heh. Well, you were up, Val chuckled. Guess it's your job, Kiki.
Kiki blushed.
I don't know.
Val, just get up and take him some clothes before he comes out. Zell sighed.
Val was grinning and shaking his head.
I ain't giving up my comfortable location, and Gower's getting his hair done.
The shower shut off.
Better hurry, Val added unnecessarily.
Damn him anyway, Zell grumbled. Why can't he just carry his clothes into the bathroom and get dressed in there like everyone else?
Like you, maybe. Not me, not him. Though I suspect he would have taken more than that towel if he'd known he'd have an audience.
Val continued ragging on Zell, even as the poor guy had his hand on the doorknob.
Living with a prude ain't easy, you know.
Zell knocked on the door. Zelos, I have your clothes here. All the girls are out here.
Yes, all.
Because they are.
No, I won't ask them all to leave. No one listens to me anyway.
What?
No. No one wants to see your ugly naked body anymore. Don't be stupid.
That would be a bad choice to make. Just take these and put them on.
Right.
And then, after passing said garments over, Zell added,
Thank you.
A few moments later, Zelos appeared clothed in his standard hotel evening attire, kimono and black silk pants.
One would have thought after your day at sea and evening at the Pops you would want to turn in, girls.
Oh, I see, Lena is napping. He scrunched up his face at Gowrie and Philia.
And since my bed's otherwise occupied, I shall have to wake Lena up.
Bad idea. Zell warned him, as he settled back into his designated spot.
She's not driving me to the floor in my room,
Zelos declared. He bounced over the one bed, jiggling Philia's cutting arm and eliciting a sharp, Zelly bean!
Zelly bean?
Kiki repeated with wonder.
Miss Philia likes nicknames, and that one's because,
Amelia began.
He's so sweet, Kiki guessed. Like the candy?
Maybe.
Nothing like that, Philia said. It just sounded like the candy.
That, and he hates it, she added with a smirk. Zelos had settled on the other bed, turned and stuck out his tongue at her. He and Val were lounging, half sitting, and acting as bookends, controlling the Lena sprawl in between. Contrary to what he had warned, Zelos had carefully situated himself so as not to awaken Lena. Silphiel turned on the TV, but the cable was limited to 5 stations, one being the Things to Do advertising of the local businesses.
"We'd be better off just talking," she decided, and flicked the TV off. "Oh, did you see that guy on the school roof, Gowrie?"
"During the math final? Yeah, wonder how he got out there."
Zelos knew. "You can climb out the window of the girls' bathroom onto the roof.
And don't ask me how I know that."
Kiki thought he was funny. "Last year during science lab, 2 guys were out there, but couldn't pull themselves back up. They were running around and screaming. Pretty pathetic." Zell smiled and shook his head. "Couple of jocks so out of shape and overweight they got caught doing something stupid. Very funny, actually."
"Funny? We were doing life drawings in art class, and the kid modeling fell asleep."
Philia picked up another lank of damp hair and began to work out the snarls. She woke up when her head went down and banged on something. "You had to be there." Lena let out a sigh and turned sideways, draping an arm across Zelos's waist. He pretended not to notice. Silphiel had more to share.
"Did you know our Japanese teacher is dating the football coach?"
"No!" Amelia and Philia both exclaimed. Lena grunted and adjusted her Zelos pillow. He moved an arm to encompass her shoulders. Zell caught his eyes in a staring contest. Zell was silently arguing that perhaps Zelos should prefer to sit by Kiki. Zelos was countering with a suggestion of his own. Why doesn't Zelgata show affection to either girl he was sitting beside? Or maybe it was more of a make-me look.
"Yes, someone from the office, you know, delivered a bunch of flowers to her."
Philia nodded. "Yeah, I saw those. Was it from him?"
"Uh-huh. The note fell off. I picked it up and put it back. I couldn't help but notice. Flowers. So
sweet," Zell supplied acidly.
"Romantic," Zelos trilled in a falsetto.
"They suck," Val provided for contrast. Gowrie elected to keep his mouth shut. Philia had a sharp instrument in her hand, after all. Philia and Silphiel rolled their eyes. Kiki elbowed Zell.
"Well, they are nice. You'll find out when you grow up. Girls appreciate a thoughtful boy."
Zell froze up. "When you grow up? Wasn't he grown up?" He had thought he was quite mature. Zelos replied,
"Some girls do. Others just take, expecting more. In fact, I think very few actually value, truly, a kind, generous guy."
"Like you, huh?" Philia snorted.
"I'd like to think so."
Changing the subject, Silphiel said,
"The bathrooms at school used to be so messed up, you know. Like, that one, I don't know where, that when you flushed the toilets, all the water in the sinks came on."
"Oh, yeah," Philia laughed. "But at least it worked, sorta. The one in the art hall? It was a good day if 1 out of 3 was not leaking or backed up or something. How about the boys' bathrooms?"
"They're okay now," Val said. "There were some, and he could find one in a pinch. As long as you don't have to spend any time in one." "I couldn't say," Zelos said. "I've never been in one. That is, except for the window incident."
He could not be coerced into expanding on that story. Zell felt a warm heaviness leaning into him. Amelia had fallen asleep.
"Just rest her head on your lap. You can carry her to bed later," Kiki suggested.
While he attempted to lower Amelia into a comfortable position, he said to Zelos,
"You were the one who got the guys into trouble, weren't you? Showing them the window. Hey, I don't care. You could have provoked the entire team out onto the roof and pushed them all off for all I care."
"Then we wouldn't need the cheerleaders," Silphiel cried out,
to which Zell simply shrugged his shoulders as a reply.
"Anyway," Silphiel continued, "what I was getting at was that last year everything was, like, broken, and now things work and the floors are clean. They replaced two of the old ovens in the cooking room."
Like the one that burned up some of Lena's cookies last year?" Gowrie asked.
"Uh-huh. That one and another. Whatever you say or think about Grouchera, Zelos, he's a good principal."
"I'll tell him you said so next time I see him, which is next week, I think. Lena knows. His work ethic must run in the family," he added with a wink at Zelgadas.
"So, you two graduated? Does that mean we won't see you at school anymore?" Philia asked.
"I hope," she added, with a smile directed at Zelos.
"Oh, we'll still be around," Zelos assured her with a mocking smile. "I have an affinity for the fine fare offered by the school cafeteria, and I'm still a participant in our musical, which affords me many opportunities to associate with a knowledgeable faculty." Val chuckled. "Nerds suck up." "And Zelgadas wants to finish his Japanese, and he's going to be a paid assistant in the computer center." "Another nerd suck up. How's that art portfolio coming along, Valentine?"
Zelos knew Val wouldn't try anything with Lena sleeping between them.
Val snorted. "Okay.
He's got the art teacher all excited about it. She's been helping him get it together. Paintings, computer art, sculpture. What else? Oh, photography, yeah." Philia tackled the last shank of uncombed hair with gusto.
"Careful there," Gowrie implored, as he tried to protect his tender scalp.
"She says Val has great promise and recommended several schools for him." Further information from Philia was cut off by guffaws from both Zell and Zelos, and snickers from the others.
"Ooh, Valley Boys, the teacher's pet."
Val was about to launch a retaliatory punch to Zelos' smart mouth when he noticed Lena, now snuggled quite comfortably on and around Zelos, head on his chest, one leg over his arm cradling her gently. Had it been anyone else, it wouldn't have registered in Val's mind at all.
"I'll let it pass for now, lover boy," Val said in a low voice.
Silphiel and Kiki had moved in close to Gowrie to admire Philia's handiwork. They were engaged in conversation and didn't hear Val.
"Oh, that looks so good. Would you trim mine too?" Kiki asked. "Not tonight, but when you have time."
Zelgadas heard what Val had said, but was pinned to the floor by the prone Amelia, so he couldn't really see Zelos and Lena. Philia had released his hair. All done. Gowrie's head turned. Lena sleeping in Zelos' arms was not what he had been expecting. Lena was asleep. She had no idea what she was doing, and he was taking advantage of her. At least, that's how he saw it. He didn't like that contented, no, smug smile on the guy's face either. Gowrie stood.
"It's late, and we got another gig tomorrow. I'm carrying her to her own room. Philia, would you show me where to put Lena?"
He leaned over and collected Lena in his arms before Zelos could naysay him. Zelos did get in the last word, though.
"Sweet dreams are made of this."
Gowrie grunted, then swept out of the room.
"Want a hand with your girl?"
Zelos asked of Zelgadas, still on the floor. With a faint flush, Zell answered, "Actually, yes. Although, I could just wake her up and let her walk. What's your problem?" Hopping around on one foot, while shaking his other, was looking like an odd dance of Zelos's making. "It fell asleep," Zelos whined. "I'm coming." Zelos managed to get Amelia, scoop her up, and right himself without dropping her. "Got her. I'll put Amelia away. The rest of you are on your own." Val, Philia, and Silphiel followed behind Zelos and his load, leaving Zell with Kiki. "My time to go," she said. Zell was standing rather awkwardly staring at her. Yeah. "You wanted to say something?" She stepped closer. Do you want to marry Zelos?" he blurted out. "No," she answered without pause. "I do like him. But I haven't even been on a date. How would I know how we get along?" With tears forming in the corners of her eyes, she added, "How would you feel, stuck with someone you barely know for life?" I would hate it," Zell admitted. "I do hate it. I made Zelos a promise. What I'll make to you two, and that is, I will find a way to stop it. You both deserve the freedom to choose your own, to live your own lives." Kiki's face brightened.
"Why, thank you, Zell. You have given me hope."
Zell walked her to the door to the room she was sharing. They met Zelos heading out. He turned and went the other direction. "Where are you going?" Zell asked. He wasn't certain if Zelos knew which way was up sometimes.
"Hunting," Zelos smiled. "Val and I are going to meet a few fans. See you later." "You have your room key?"
Zelos patted his pockets. Surprisingly, this pair of silk pants had side pockets. And, even more surprising, the key was in it.
"Why?" "Yes, I do," he nodded to Kiki. "Good night,"
then hopped off. "He's doing what?" she asked.
"Nothing. Zulf and Rodimus have cordoned off both ends of the hallway for security reasons. They won't get far," Zell assured her. "Good night."
"Oh, night."
She started to go in, and then hesitated.
"Zell?"
Yes?
Kiki, using the shortened form of his first name, caught him off guard.
"Do you think we might go out together?"
Now he was further flustered.
Who?
"Us. You and me, and Amelia and Zelos. I'd feel more comfortable in a group that way, I think. Would that be okay with you? I'd understand if you just wanted to be alone with Amelia. She told me you two had gone out together."
"Just the once on her birthday more than a month ago."
Why did he feel the need to defend himself?
"We're not really, or are we?"
She put a hand on his arm.
"We don't have to. I don't want to pressure you."
"No, I would like that. The four of us, yes. That would be all right. I mean, it might be fun. Should be fun, I mean."
He could have hit himself in order to shut up.
"That might be fun, too."
"You mean that? Magnifique! Can I tell Amelia? Would you mind? Ah, no, I won't. I can see. You would rather just plan it all yourself. That's good. Okay?"
Yes.
Although, as the door closed, he wasn't entirely sure what to do next. Talk to Zelos. About the time he was dropping off to sleep, Val and Zelos returned. He shut out their loud grumbling. Val went to the room he was sharing with Gowrie. Zelos stepped into his room and flung his shoes against the wall as he took them off.
"Told you so."
"I know, but I thought I had it worked out. I did. I don't know how Zulf figured out my little ploy, but he did. It makes me mad, though. I'm an adult. If I want to go out, I should be able to."
"He's protecting us," you from being torn apart or something. Just doing his job. Listen, I had a great deal of exercise today, and I need to sleep for playing tomorrow, all right? You going to hold me to that bet?
Yes, Zelos. Seeing you kiss my dog will be the highlight of my week.
You sick, sick boy.
That's me. Night.
Good night, little brother.
Oh, by the way.
Yes?
Think up something you, me, Amelia, and Kiki can all do together.
Oh, like a double date?
Kay, that's a good idea, really. I've never been out with Amelia before.
Dancing.
Dancing? Well, if you want.
Dinner, dancing, and...
That's enough for a start.
Yes. Sweet dreams.
Right. Zell turned over and wondered about the word sweet, then fell asleep.
Song. Lena was very energetic, but the cold bay water, lack of plentiful food, and late nights singing took a toll on her body. When they took a break midway through their last performance of the night, Lena slumped into a chair.
Zelos, come here.
Had he the ability, he would have instantaneously transported himself to her side. As it was, he skipped over as quickly as possible.
Yes? I'm not feeling so great.
He placed a cool hand to her forehead.
You might have a temperature. I'll get you some ice water.
Yeah, in a minute. First, can you and Val and Zell work out a couple of those solos of yours? Like the ones you did the first time when Amelia was out, and that one you sang in Zephelia?
Good, because I'm going to cut mine except for the closer.
Philia, Sylphiel, come here. Lena's sick. What can you do for her, T?
Amelia had been close enough to overhear. She scampered off to get some ice and a cloth napkin from the dining room.
Zelos turned back to Lena.
We'll cover for you.
Rest here as long as you can.
Seeing all the excitement centering around Lena made Gowrie hurry to her side.
What's wrong?
I think I'm coming down with a cold or something, she began.
Gowrie cleared off the ratty dressing room couch and helped her over. Amelia spilled some of her cup of ice when she tripped over a pillow Gowrie had tossed onto the floor.
Whoops! I made it! Here, Miss Lena, put this napkin with the ice on your forehead. You'll feel better when you cool down.
Thanks.
Lena shook the ice free from her hair. She lay back and closed her eyes.
Okay, they gave me a mug of hot water, and I've put a bag of calming tea in. That's all I have with me here. I have others back at the room, Philia explained.
It will have to do, Lena sighed. However, on closer observation, she was plunged into profound suspicion by the mug of tea.
What kind of herbs did you say you put in here?
I hope it doesn't make me sick to my stomach or put me to sleep. Have you ever drunk this?
Philia just declared, I'm coming down with a headache, and walked away.
At least she brought something with her. I never think to bring anything with me from my shrine training,
Sylphiel revealed.
Who'd have guessed? Lena murmured. How much more time do we have?
20 minutes, Amelia checked her watch. Go ahead and rest. We'll wake you if you fall asleep.
To give Gowrie a lot of credit, he worked up a baseline to back up Zelos' songs during the rest of their break. He was trying to forget how angry he'd been the night before at Zelos. Val had explained to him that Zelos hadn't done anything.
I was sitting right there, and she just rolled over onto him. He didn't feel her up or anything.
But still, wasn't Kiki enough? Apparently not. Somehow that guy always managed to get his hands on Lena. His Lena. He pushed back his jealousy. Lena needed them to rally together, and that's what he was going to do.
Okay, now we've got another solo from our drummer, so if you give him a minute to get... Okay.
Quietly, Lena stepped away from the mic, leaving room for Zelos to come forward.
Thanks, Lena.
Zelos nodded.
At that moment, he decided to throw caution into the wind and peel back his smiling veneer. For just a few minutes. He addressed the audience with the question,
"Is it still raining outside?" "Yeah?"
The audience nodded, and a few yeahs could be heard.
"So, anybody out there go through a bad breakup?"
A loud murmur of affirmative reverberated throughout the hall.
"Left you feeling kind of empty, huh?"
"Oh, yeah," came several more replies.
"Well, a friend of mine wrote this song some time ago. It's for you still hurting out there."
Zelos paused to let Zell's bluesy guitar take front and center.
"It's called Song for a Rainy Day by David Cassidy. Not me, guys."
Val added some keyboards, and Gowrie brought in the rhythm. Then he sang.
"It's sad to say it, but I think love's gonna end. Once we were lovers, and now we're not even friends. It was good to have you near me for a while. When we made each other happy, and we made each other smile."
Zell looked over at his friend, holding back his own feelings, which were welling up inside. He wondered how it was that Zelos could sing the song without breaking down.
"Seems I always think about you most of all on a rainy day. Just hold me one more time so I can close my eyes, remembering how you feel before we say goodbye. It was good to have you near me for a while."
Gowrie wiped a stream of tears which had somehow come loose. No one was untouched by Zelos' heart-quenching delivery.
"Seems I always think about you most.
Zeldatus tore into a heart-wrenching guitar solo, while Zelos watched in silence, readying himself for the final verse. Wondered if maybe he really had been hurt more deeply than just pride deep. Of course, he was a good actor, but were those real tears in his eyes? If not, then why were her eyes welling up in response? Stupid songs. He can have the sappy tearjerkers. The Seal Cave Tour. The next day, they ate a leisurely breakfast and asked Zolf to drive the scenic coast route home. The extra rest and food bucked Lena up, and whatever bug she'd been fighting the evening before had been vanquished. Philia claimed it was due to her clan's herbal concoction, which it might have been,
although Lena believed it was her own vitality and strength of will that won out. 20 minutes into the drive, Lena pointed out a sign. Stop there! Zulf, you hear me? I've always wanted to see those caves.
What's with it with you and caves?
That was Val, who had had enough of them the summer before while discovering his roots. They hide secrets, she answered.
The sign says sea lions, not secrets.
Zell found it necessary to point that out.
I always thought they swam in the ocean, Silfiel said, and slept on beaches.
Or on wharfs. I was fishing off the wharf on a vacation, and one stole my bait, Gowrie recalled. Wasn't gonna catch nothing anyway, with all the gulls and pelicans hanging around. But it didn't have to take the bucket, too.
Poor baby,
Zelos muttered. Stinking wharf, slimy fish, nasty bait. At least the sea lions had fur, but it was wet fur. They were not decent animals.
Be nice, Amelia scolded him. We can learn about the life cycle of our coastal mammals. I think it's a good idea. I've never been here before either.
The others kept their comments to themselves and followed Lena into the main building. There was a snack bar and attached gift shop to the one side and a roped-off waiting area near the elevator down into the caves. At the counter was a familiar face.
Hey, Zelos!
Lena shouted. What you doing here? Working? Val strode up behind her with a, Yo, dude! Zelos had trimmed up his shaggy mop of red hair and frowsy beard and donned a clean shirt and pair of pants. Zelos wouldn't have recognized him had Lena not drawn his attention to him.
Hi, dudes, he nodded to Lena and Val. Got me a job. No use messing around school no more. Me and Gravos got a place out near the pool hall we go to. Not much, but at least we don't got his old man and mine ragging on us no more.
Hear ya, Val commiserated. You could have graduated, though.
Nah, that's for you smart guys.
Zelos laughed, but he seemed sad.
So, you want to take the tour? Leaves in a minute or two. No one else. Things are slow today. I could use the business.
Sure. Are there really sea lions in the caves? I don't want to pay for nothing.
Oh, yeah. Lots, he assured her. I mean, hundreds. Some are really big and noisy. Pretty cool, actually.
Lena was getting excited now. Let's get going, then.
So, if you want to go, you gotta pair up.
Zelos moved out from behind the counter and over to a tall structure resembling a giant bubblegum machine.
Got a what? Lena asked.
She hated having someone else taking charge and giving her and her friends directions, especially a loser like Zelos.
This is the fun part. You put in your money in this here slot, then out comes this little ball. So then you reach in and take it and hide it and wait for everyone else.
Lena, impatient as ever, stepped up to the machine, stuffed in a few quarters, and grabbed a marble.
Yeah, so?
Everyone does it,
Zelos pointed to Zelgadas.
While Zell bought his ball pass, Zelos continued to explain. If the ball matches, then you're paired up. Only so many can go in at a time, too.
Zell hid his selection, and then moved aside for Amelia to take her turn. She pushed Zelos up to the coin exchange next, then Gowrie, followed by Philia.
Me and Kiki are going to the gift shop, Silfiel announced. Unless you really want to go, Val.
No way, Philia shouted. We all go. I want to check out that gift shop, too. We'll do it later. Val, get up here and get your little marble thing, please.
Ah, shit, he grumbled, but he did it.
So the story goes. Zelos pulled a card from his shirt pocket and read in a monotone. The vessel chooses the couples best suited for each other and sends them paired, thusly, into the Cave of Lovers and...
Eh?
This is a sea lion cave, Lena yelled. This vessel chooses the couple best suited for each other and sends them out the door faster than you can read the next words if you don't get a move on here. Lena's eyes flashed dangerously. Okay. Gilles' eyes danced sideways back and forth from Val to Lena. I guess we don't gotta read the whole thing. That's right. So get. Get. But Lena couldn't get until the elevator was opened.
So what about these marbles? Gowrie asked.
Lena, we'll start with you.
Naturally, she agreed. Mine's red.
Zalgaris couldn't believe it. He pulled out his little red ball just to be certain. It was still red like a cherry. Or a tomato. Or one of those apples they'd picked a few months ago. Or a pomegranate. Or...
Zalgaris! Oh!
Amelia was crestfallen, but she shook herself out of it immediately.
You're with Miss Lena.
Yes. He stepped her way, horribly embarrassed and blushing warmly. Gowrie checked his ball again. No, not red.
Mine's blue, he said aloud.
What?
Amelia's voice caught in her throat.
Mine too.
Gowrie shrugged.
That's okay, right? We're just going to look at some seals.
Her smile returned.
Oh, of course. It's fine. Nice. How about you, Kiki?
Green. Who has green?
Kiki looked from Val to Zelos to Gilles.
Me.
Val held up his by his ear. Clashes, huh? Indeed, the emerald green ball looked garish beside his mint green hair.
Oh!
Kiki squeaked. Phileas' eyes narrowed. You'd better not have a yellow one, she told Zelos. His face grew pale.
Oh my!
His smile faltered.
Perhaps I'll check out the gift shop now instead. I don't think I want to be...
I most certainly do not want to be paired up with him. Here, Sylphiel, trade! Gilles stepped between the feuding couples.
No, no, it won't work. The magic of the tour won't work if you do that.
Magic? What do you mean, what won't work?
Lena asked as her irritation with Gilles elevated another notch or two.
Trade or leave or anything. The couple sorter has spoken.
Gowrie moved toward the much shorter guy.
It didn't say a thing, did it, Zell?
While Zell assured Gowrie that he hadn't heard the machine so much as say boo, Lena collared Zelos.
You aren't going anywhere, Buster. Now, you and Phileas can put away your petty differences or secret passions and get with the program here. It's all about going down and looking at a bunch of sea lions and then coming back up. It is not about you.
Phileas crossed her arms and sighed heavily. Oh, all right. But I want it known that I do not condone this pairing in any way, under no conditions.
Methinks the lady doth kvetch too much, Zell muttered in an undertone to Lena, who smiled.
For God's sakes, don't let either of them hear you, or we'll be here all day. Lena met Zell's eyes. The mutual good humor and friendship between the two showed that they were well matched. That is, for the observation of sea lions in their natural habitat. But Sylphiel was unfulfilled.
What about me? I have this black one. Who has the matching one?
She looked down at the shorter Gilles.
Not like you.
Zelos laughed and put on a little juggling act with the two balls, one yellow and the other black.
How lucky can a guy get, eh? One for each arm.
Even Phileas chuckled. Well, I'll share if you will. Sylphiel nodded agreeably. Gilles fidgeted around. Well, I guess that'll be okay. So I'll unlock the elevator. You can all get in. Oh, and the couples must hold hands. Ah!
Don't push it, Lena said as she strangled him into submission. You must enter paired, he squeaked and rushed into the elevator. Zell held out an arm, which Lena took, setting them all in motion. Like dancers beginning a dance, they entered arm in arm. Gilles pressed the down button and the door closed. The descent took about 2 minutes. The doors opened and the slayers stepped out into a dimly lit cavern which opened to the sea. Somewhere. You could hear the surf somewhere in the background and smell the aroma of far too many animals in the foreground. Ach, oh my gods, Philia choked as she stumbled out of the elevator. Zello saved her from a fall onto the slippery walkway. Steady, sweetie. Let's not begin this wonderful life together on the wrong footing. She clung to him while covering her nose and mouth with her hand. I'm going to be sick. Wonderful, he grimaced. A two, my little sylph. Sylphiel shook her head.
It stinks, but it's no worse than the locker room after a game.
Or the stables, Val added. Zalgadis didn't care for it, but he was bothered more by the incessant barking noises. He freed his arm to reach into a pocket and retrieve his earplugs. Free to move on her own, Lena marched over to the railing and leaned over. She just hung that way for the longest time.
Miss Lena, what do you see?
Amelia broke the spell. She shot up and spun around. See? Oh, nothing. Nothing to see. Might as well go back and round and check out that gift shop, right? And with that, she grabbed Zell's arm and pulled him toward the waiting elevator.
Now that was just odd. They had just arrived. It drew curious observers from all over the edge.
Oh!
Kiki and Amelia cried out and then started to giggle. Come on, Lena shouted. Gowrie took one look, smiled, and pulled the younger girls away.
It's just what they do now, I guess.
Val was howling.
Oh-ho! The sea lions are getting it on. Good call, Gilles.
He wrapped his arms around Kiki and Amelia. Don't worry, ladies. It's just some of that circle of life you want to learn more about. But you don't gotta look. I'll protect you. Amelia swatted his big hand.
Stop talking like an uneducated male chauvinist oppressor.
Val rolled his eyes at that as he drew her in for a painful hug.
I ain't that bad. Oh, maybe not, but those spikes on your vest are when you shove them into my eye.
He pulled back, alarmed that he might have actually hurt her, but found Amelia staring up at him and giving him a wink.
You lie,
he chuckled, and released her to flee to the far side of the observation area. Zelos, with his camaraderie, took their turn.
Oh, yuck. Fat animal love. Great. How much did I pay to see that?
Philia sniffed and turned away.
I knew this would be disappointing,
Sylphiel sighed and looked at Zelos.
No offense.
None taken. Zalgadis had untangled himself from Lena and was trying to see what all the turmoil was about.
Oh. Is there more? More as in different, I mean. Or is this the whole tour?
Zelos asked Gilles, who was still sharing a laugh with Val.
Zalgadis, is it all that interesting?
Maybe. Come over and take a look. There was something in the tone of his voice that wiped the smile off his face.
Okay, what?
Follow my arm, past that grouping of rocks. Gowrie, are you looking? There, past the rocks, near that cluster of animals.
What is that?
Zell pointed with some urgency now.
Oh, it's...
Lena pushed her way to the forefront of the action again. Let me see. What?
It looks like a dead body, Gowrie finished. Better call the cops.
A dead body?
Gilles shouted. Lena had swung herself over the railing and was on her way down the rocky slope
when Gowri spotted her.
Lena!
Damn it, Zell shouted. You know those male sea lions can kill you. I want to see who it is! Gilles had told them he had a siren to chase them out of the cave. It'll make you deaf, so go back into the elevator while I turn it on. The police ought to be here by the time the animals are gone. That wasn't good enough for Lena. She climbed back to the human side of the enclosure. I don't want to wait that long. She turned to Zell expectantly. He couldn't deny her. He was curious, too. Go on. I'll put in my heavy-duty earplugs. 20 minutes later, sirens still blaring, the police arrived. Gilles told them what they had seen and that as soon as he cut the noise, they'd have 10 minutes at best to haul the body up before the animals returned. Can you identify the body? Gilles nodded. Yeah, a dude named Dilgir. The slayers had already split, saddled with the knowledge that, however inadvertent it was, they were responsible for yet another death. It was a sobering end to their road trip. The next few days passed uneventfully, until Zelgadas found himself accompanying Zelos on another visit to Subaru.
He's not in, Zelos told him after checking the roster at the door. But he's due back in less than an hour. I've got some work I can do. Want to come with me?
No, I have lines to learn for the musical and my Japanese book. I'll be fine just sitting here by the door. Besides, if he comes in this way, I'll be the first to know and we'll come and get you. With that, Zelos departed, leaving Zelgadas to fend for himself. The bench was empty in the entry hall, so he opened his backpack and took out Lena's script and began to scan it.
May I sit here too?
Zell looked up to find the gentle voice belonged to an equally gentle-faced girl, whose long black hair swept her elbows.
Certainly. I'm just waiting for someone. One of the priests.
Oh, me too.
After a pause, she asked,
Do you think I need an appointment?
I don't think so, but I arrived with one of the priests here. I've never actually showed up alone, so I don't know what the protocol is. I could ask for you.
After saying that, Zell wondered at his boldness. He wasn't one to get involved or go out of his way for a stranger. But he looked again at the girl. Her face was pretty without makeup, her clothes simple, neat, loose-fitting pants, and a shirt with jacket. He liked her immediately. This was someone who had no need to put on airs or artificiality of any kind. Kind of like Lena or Amelia or Kiki.
Oh, no, please don't go to any trouble. The person I'm waiting for is supposed to be back soon.
She looked away, down at her hands, then back up into Zell's eyes.
Demir, yes, that would describe her. Are you from around here?
Huh? Oh, does it show?
She looked frightened now. Does what show? I don't know what you mean. I just meant that I don't recognize you from the high school, the university, or from the few shrine visits I've made.
Zell was now wishing he hadn't begun this awkward conversation. Then it occurred to him that she was probably uncomfortable around him as well.
It's really none of my business. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I'm sorry, too. It's just, well, I am new around here. I ran away from home and came looking for a friend of a friend.
Yes, she had a nice way about her. It made him want to know more.
You ran away? I know there were times when I wanted to do that. I don't live at home anymore now, but I remember the feeling.
I don't know if you could have felt as unwelcome as I did. I had to pretend to be just the way my mother wanted me, and then one day I just couldn't stand it anymore.
So then you ran away? I can understand that, though. You are the only one who can live your life, and there comes a time when you have to do just that. A time when you have to accept yourself the way you are, and hope that others do as well, and...
He stopped. Her eyes were on him. He blushed in response.
As you can see, I've had to go through that in a way myself. I thought I had to get away from home to find a cure for this, but that wasn't exactly the problem.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't have stared so, but... The girl blushed with him. I think I saw your picture in the paper. I hadn't been here long, and I was coming that day to the shrine. It was just after the solstice festival. You were one of those kids who averted some big catastrophe here, right?
Yes, my name is Zelgadis. I'm with the band called the Slayers.
Which explained the cool clothes, huh? Well, I think you are very nice, Zelgadis. I've never met a famous person before.
I don't think I'm that familiar to people. I certainly don't feel famous.
You'll give me an autograph, won't you?
Autograph? I guess so. But I can't imagine why you want it. I tell you, the band's becoming pretty well known, but I'm just a small part of it.
The girl, nevertheless, drew a small notebook and pen from her bag. Please?
Fine. So, do I just sign my name or write a message? Or what would you like?
Oh, I don't know. Whatever you like. Just make it out to me, Miwan.